Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. My switchboard disappeared on me all of a sudden. That's why you did not hear the intro. I'm pulling my switchboard up right now, literally. My apologies for a late start this morning, but today is Sports Friday, and as I prepare for the show, I'm checking out Mike and Mike also. I think it's very interesting that Randy Moss is very interested in returning back to the NFL, and there seems to be teams that are interested in him, especially the AFL. And then also they had just discussed T.O. But, again, you're listening to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I'm only in audio mode right now. I'm pulling up my switchboard right now. I was expected my intro song to play, but as soon as it was time for it to play, my switchboard disappeared on me. I am broadcasting my show live from my Android, both of my Android phones, because I still have not, I don't have my netbook back online yet. But just thank you, and I appreciate your support and you for viewing my profile at Culture Shock Entertainment, KULTURESHOKENT, either hyphen Beth or space Beth. So, I'm just amazed at the support. Like I said, we'll be celebrating 1 year birthday next month. And I'm just so excited. And I'm excited to the possibility of speaking with my long friend, my dear friend, someone I care about a lot, Morris Mills. I just spoke with him before going on air. So I think he might call. This is the day that Rich Rudnick and I usually talk about sports also, but I have not seen his number on the switchboard. So, you know, Morris spent like a whole week in Hollywood, attended Hollywood parties and attended the Grammys and everything. So, you know, find out what's going on, what's next in his life and so on. Some things I do know, but some things are confidential also. So either he might want to break some great news to you all or not. But then also this is a sad weekend because while Morris was in Hollywood, you know, someone that we dearly love passed on. So I want to take a moment of silence for a dear friend of mine whose funeral is today, a gentleman who was a very important part of my teen life, and that's Coach Wade. Coach James Wade's family and his kids, who I was very close with for 10 years, and his youngest daughter and I stay in constant touch with one another. And that's Coach Wade. He's former coach of Northwest Rankin and also a coach at a couple of JPS schools also. And I've been longtime friends with his widow also, Mrs. Lynn Wade, and her daughter, Angela. So just send my love and condolences to the Wade family. His funeral will be today at New Hope Church on the corner of Watkins and Village Drive. And my goodness, I know death is a part of life, but it's just so heartbreaking. You know, I told Yolanda, whatever you all need, you know, let me know if you need anything, but I just cannot attend a funeral. I'd be so sad. And I talked to my mother yesterday. Like, I really want to attend a funeral, but my mother and I know that I would just, you know, break down in tears. Because I love bumping into the Coach Wade and Mrs. Lynn, and they were such a vibrant couple playing tennis, and he's a coach. And so, of course, he's so used to being just athletic. And then I also always admired him for being a single father also during our teen years. I mean, he was a coach, and he was just a great role model for not only his kids, but kids like I who grew up in a single-parent home. So that's what I tell you. I grew up in a single-parent home, but I have so many positive male role models in my life. So my life would end up being well balanced anyway, even though I grew up in a one parent home. My parents split when I was at the age of one. So, you know, my siblings had opportunity of growing up in a two parent home, but I didn't. My parents split when I was one. But I have just, my life has been filled with positive men in my life. Yes, I've been dealing with relationships. I've had good and bad experiences, but dealing with guiding me in the right direction and mentoring me and just setting an example, there have really been some positive men in my life. And Coach Wade happened to be one of those men. And he will always have a special place in my heart. So I continue to send my love to the Wade family and all those who knew Coach Wade and who worked with Coach Wade and who were able to be coached by Coach Wade, because he was a pretty successful coach. I have to check out the stats of the teams that he's coached, but Coach Wade was a pretty successful coach. So I just want to do that. So let's take a moment of silence for Coach Wade and for Whitney Houston. His funeral is tomorrow. And ironically, both churches are the same name. The church that he's been buried at is New Hope Church in my neighborhood, North Jackson, and her church name is New Hope Church in Newark, New Jersey. So isn't that kind of ironic? So I send my love to fellow supporters of Whitney Houston like myself. Anybody who knows me knows I love Whitney Houston. You all know I love B.B. King and Prince and so on, but anybody who really knows me know I am crazy about Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston, Mary J. Blige, Mariah Carey. Oh, my God. They can do no wrong in my eyes. Not at all. So let's take a moment of silence. And happy birthday. You're celebrating a birthday this weekend. And still celebrating Valentine's Day, because I have a song that I was going to play in celebration of Valentine's week, because I know many of you are still celebrating Valentine's Day. Their Valentine's Day concert still going on, because I believe L.B. Sure and Lisa and Cup Jam will be in Houston for a Valentine concert. So if you didn't store pre-Valentine, you're still celebrating post-Valentine. So have fun, you all who are still celebrating Valentine's Day. But, yeah, Morris and Ridge Ruffneck are online, and I'm going to speak with So this is great. We have about 8 minutes of live streaming, but we're going to continue the show about another 10 to 15 minutes, okay? So I'm going to chime in with Morris right quick, and hopefully he'll just stick along, you know, stay on as Rich Ruffneck and I talk more about sports. And I do my best, if I have a couple minutes, to play. I always, since Morris' song, Round and Round, is my theme song, I do my best to always play his song. And but there's a song that I have by Keaton Simons, which is Eric Roberts' stepson. Keaton sent me an awesome song for Valentine's Day, remake of Cupid. And this song sounds fantastic. So I was going to start the show with my theme song and also play Keaton Simons' song, Cupid, because this sounds so awesome. And Eric Roberts, if you don't know Eric Roberts, I've been a super, super supporter of Eric Roberts. And I always wanted to work with Eric Roberts as an actress. I knew who Eric Roberts was before I knew who Julia Roberts was. I've loved him since the early 80s, probably late 70s, way back in the day, when he was mainly seen in independent films and just so on. You all remember, that was Eric in Star 80, wasn't it? And you remember the movie Star 80 about the Playboy playmate that was murdered by her husband? Okay, he plays that husband, if I'm not mistaken. So I, like, loved Eric before that film was made. His stepson, Keaton Simon, is a successful songwriter singer. So I have a song that Keaton sent me called Cupid, and it's so awesome. But I'm going to stop running my mouth so I can see what's going on with Morris, and also so Reg Ruffneck and I can talk a little sports also. But my apologies again for the late start. I'm broadcasting from the Android, so it was a little complication with getting my switchboard up and running and everything. I was awakened this morning, you all. I've been up since 3:30. Okay, so let's see and say hi to my friend Morris and Ridge Ruffneck also on the line.
Smills.
Good morning, Morris.
Well, good morning, Beth.
Hi, my Valentine.
Oh, happy, yeah. Are you still celebrating Valentine's Day?
Yeah, Morris and I had decided to be one another's Valentine since we don't have significant others. We're longtime friends and love each other, so why not be each other's Valentines?
Well, you're going to get a lot of girls jealous, Beth.
So have you been? Are you back in Chicago?
Yeah, I got back Tuesday morning. Wednesday morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I took the red eye back from L.A. And, on Valentine's Day, so I got back in that morning.
Wow, so you back up and at it. So before I start asking you so many questions, anything you want to share with us regarding your experience in Hollywood or, you know, I'm surprised you came back. Are you going back anytime soon?
Yeah, I'll be traveling back and forth. I made some good connections out there. Met some wonderful people. Mr. James Moten, a cousin of mine, but he's more like a manager. And a cousin, he, explored the sites of Beverly Hills, Hollywood, and Los Angeles itself. I went to some very historical places that you often read about, where the racial riots took place in Los Angeles. Paramount Studios and, just Hollywood itself. And the most intriguing part for me, it really wasn't Hollywood, it was Beverly Hills. I love the homes.
Oh, yes.
Stuff in Beverly Hills. And, the palm trees and all that. I was just really taken by the city.
Yeah, because I love the pictures that you posted on Facebook. I'm sure you posted some more pictures, but I love the pictures that you posted standing in front of the palm trees and just in different areas.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to just get the Hollywood glamour. I just wanted to get the whole Santa Monica and Long Beach and all those areas, very beautiful areas. They kind of remind me of Florida a little bit. St. Petersburg and all that, but I guess anytime you're near water, it's going to remind you of this beautiful.
Oh, wow, that's great. I've only been to LA once, and that was Long Beach. I visited friends in Long Beach and visited Hollywood for like a week. I was there like 2 weeks, I think, but that was more than 20 years ago. That was pre the racial riots concerning what was the guy's name? You remember the beating. But I love it too. So I'm going to tag along with you probably on one of your trips back. And ironically, I have a lot of friends in Beverly Hills. And so I'm definitely looking forward to visiting Beverly Hills. And I see you're excited about Beverly Hills. It's beautiful, huh? Rodeo Drive.
The houses. I was inspiring. It was very inspiring. So just being there itself, and going to the Grammys was really the highlight of my trip at the event. It was awesome, and to be sitting in the audience where the awards were given out for people actually making money and making a living and being nominated for what they love to do. And I was just like, wow. Just really, it just reality set in. So you know, of all people, when I got started, when I was in Mississippi, that's where we met at the spoken word event. And,
yes.
And we had a chance with Charlie Braxton and Michael McLendon and our reggae friend, Uzoma.
Yes.
We all pretty much got our start there while we were in college. They were teaching in college, and I was making a transition in my life really being separated at that time and going through a divorce. That part just really about Mississippi, the spoken word and the open mic just really kind of opened my eyes to the musical talent there in Jackson, Mississippi. So that was really, really a pivotal point.
I'm glad you're sharing that with the listeners, because this is really an artsy town, an artsy state. I mean, a lot of superstars' roots are right here in Jackson, Mississippi, and in Mississippi as a whole.
Yeah, it's quite as kept. I mean, Jackson is off the chain. I'm surprised that Jackson, Mississippi doesn't. Well, I'm not surprised, but at the same time, I'm surprised that you got the people that want to sing. They need to come there. I mean, like American Idol and The X Factor. If anybody is looking for talent, they need to go to Mississippi, because Mississippi got some people that can blow. They can kill a lot
Thank
of people
you.
That are singing out in the industry. But
thank you. Are you listening, Nick Cannon? Are you listening, Ryan? Are you listening, Carson Daly? You know, those are some cats that I network a lot with, and I'm like, there's so much talent here. Yes. So thankfully, there's a contestant on The Voice this season that's from Ridgeland. I cannot think of his name on top of my tongue, but you probably know who I'm talking about. And there's a contestant on American Idol from Brandon.
I did see that person, Jackson. I think he's from Mississippi, but there's another friend of mine. His name is Jesse Campbell. He's a very good friend of mine. We went to high school together, and he's on The Voice. So even though
I
live
know
in Jackson,
he's my best friend.
So a good friend, rather. He's a very good friend. So my votes are for him. Okay.
Not your friend. Your friend in Illinois, or in another area?
He's from Maywood. He's from Chicago.
Yeah, because I've seen you talk about him.
Yeah, he was homeless and all that, so he was raising a daughter, is raising a daughter by himself. I touched bases with him when I was in L.A., but we never did get a chance to hook up because I was so busy with the Grammy weekend and all that. And So what do you think about the...
I'm listening. What do I think about what?
Well, I'm trying to fix it, how to phrase it, but
what did you say?
Jackson. Can you hear me?
Okay, what did I think about what? Yeah, repeat that, please.
I was trying to phrase it about Whitney Houston, the death of Whitney Houston and all that.
You know, I'm so heartbroken, because when you and I first became friends and 97, we just, Mars and I are very, very close. We might not have seen each other in a long time, but we are very, very close. We're kindred spirits, honestly, listeners. And you know in my heart how I feel about Whitney Houston, and I am just devastated. Devastated. And I'm not jumping to any conclusions of what caused her death. I don't know what happened. I want to tell you something that happened to me last summer. I was taking a bath. And I like to, like, sink into the water and wet my hair. And I literally think a little too far where I almost drowned. This is something that happened to me personally last summer. And I've pretty much stopped doing that because it was very scary, you know. And I know the type of tubs that she bubble bath in are big jacuzzi hot tubs, you know. So before we jump to any conclusions, anything could have happened.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing is, she's not here with us.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But, you know, I think my sister quoted on, she quoted this on Facebook about celebrities and their death, and they were talking about how she passed or what might happen. But the reality is, it's not how we go. The question is when are we going to go? And and are we prepared when we're going to go? So she said something very profound on her Facebook page at a certain depth, you know, and what gets me, and I appreciate the media being very respectable towards Whitney's family. You know, when she
yeah.
was alive.
But to be honest, my mother disagreeing with how the fans are being treated, though. What's
well,
your opinion about
the,
that?
The
my mother thinks the fans should be treated a little better.
No, I think the fans, I think we need to learn our place. I mean, there's a difference between being in Hollywood and being with your family. Your Hollywood is your job. If it's your job. If the family want privacy because that's their daughter, and you have to look at it this way. It's their baby. It's their daughter. It's family. But at the same time, their families need that privacy. So when Whitney was alive, Beth, they dogged her out. They really dogged her out. They were
not
positive about her.
But not the true supporters, not the ones that buy her records and go to her concerts. And
it's this too. But the media dogged her, really dogged her out. So now when she's dead, now they want to say all these fabulous things about her. So my thing is, don't tear a person down when they're alive. You got to tear them. I mean, you got to build them up while they're alive. Then I can appreciate what you say about her. I can appreciate what they say about Michael Jackson. I can appreciate what they say about.
I agree with you. The same way the media treated Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, when Michael died, before Michael died, they was calling him Wacko Jacko and all that. And when he died, oh, he's the greatest entertainer in the world.
So
and
that hurt me so much. That hurt me so much because I was corresponding and communicating with Michael before he passed, and it just used to hurt me so bad how people would just talk about him and talk about his vitiligo and talk about his other issues. And I'm so glad that he did realize before he died that a lot of people still loved him and wanted to see him back on stage.
Yeah. So going back to my trip to the Grammys and stuff, it was bittersweet. Because we lost it, and I kind of shut down with some of my events and didn't feel like partying, you know.
I wondered if you were at that event with Kelly Price. Met her.
As a matter of fact, I was there at the Grammys. I saw Kelly and I saw Trinity 5-7. Is it 3-7 or 5-7? I forget. And some other people, you know, so I had a chance to see them. And,
tell us about you meeting Terry Gordy's daughter.
It was his niece. That was not a pleasant experience. Just put it that way. So let's move on from that conversation.
Oh, you can tell me that. Oh, okay. Next.
Next. Yeah, that situation. Real quick. Exit.
Oh, okay. Next, because I love me some Berry Gordy. Okay.
Okay.
Right. But tell us about what's going on with your music.
Just really trying to revamp some things and coming back from LA really inspired me to go ahead and just really push this so I could hopefully not only attend the Grammys, but at least try to be nominated and try to be recognized for my work. That's my ultimate goal, is to be recognized for my work and what I do in a very positive way and to contribute to the music society, because we have a lot of music out there that's not really uplifting, you know, it's not really uplifting. So, you know, and then you do, and you get a lot of great music out there. So I guess it's depending on what we listen to and what we want to listen to. But so my goal is to just really, really try to be nominated or just really try to be recognized for my accomplishments. contributions to music.
Did you do any impromptu and performances while you were out there? I know you. I know you're calm, but if the time comes and you can do a jam station, you'll do that jam station.
Yeah, I've been asked to come back and perform at a couple of events. Got a lot of people that took interest in what I did, so in what I do. So it was really a networking weekend, meeting people, seeing people that I've heard about all my life, being at an event that I call it the biggest talent show in the world. That's what I call it. On the Grammys, I call that the biggest talent show in the world.
I've always loved the Oscars. I love the other award shows, but the Grammys and the Oscars and Dick Clark's American Music Awards are just the bomb.
That's my next event that I'm going to try to attend. It's the American and the Oscars. Yeah, but I'm not like I said, I don't want to be an attendee, but I want to be in a, hopefully a recipient or a nominee. So keep me in your prayers for that.
Exactly. Please, me and you. The soundtrack. Because a lot of artists focus strictly on doing scores and soundtracks and win awards galore and stay working. Some artists, I wonder, well, where are they? And then find out I've been listening to their music the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're focusing on doing scores and soundtrack music.
Yeah.
And commercials.
So, yeah, that's true. That's so true, Beth. Well, Beth, it was good talking to you. It was good talking with you also.
I hope you can call back tomorrow because I really talk a lot about entertainment on Saturdays. And next month I'm going to upgrade the program to 2 hours. So maybe, hopefully you'll spend more time with us. I'm so glad.
Oh, yeah, because you could talk, Beth. You could talk.
Yeah. Oh, you can talk. You are here. He is a good preacher, too. But we have about 3 more minutes. Stay on the line while my friend Rich Roughneck and I talk a few minutes about sports.
All right. That sounds good.
Okay, I'll introduce you all right quick also. He's in Big D, and he's a native of Jackson. We went to school together.
He's in Big D? Oh, he's in Dallas.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
What's up, Rich Roughneck?
What's up?
What's up? We have a few minutes to talk sports, but we can talk some more over the weekend and so on. What's up? I want you to meet Morris Mills. He's on the line. My long-time friend, singer-songwriter. Whose music you hear?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, man. I heard you in Big D, so let's hear what you got to hear about sports. Let's talk about that.
Well, the week has been kind of a little down. Everybody's still reeling over the untimely death of Whitney Houston. But, you know, one of the things that's going on in sports, as we've also been trying to keep up on, is the situation. It seems like now the owner of the Colts, Mr. Irsay, wants to try to work out a deal where Pate can stay.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is. Well, one of the caveats involved was how they was going to restructure the contract. And I think in a lot of ways, Peyton kind of owe Irsay a whole year sitting on the sideline collecting $25 million. So yeah, I think it would be good if they do a little something to kind of work that out, because he's due $28 million this year. And if he's still on the roster after March 8th, so I think the best solution to that problem would be to restructure the contract where it won't be that hard of a hit on the salary cap, and then they can turn around and use the rest of that money to try to sign Oliver Luck or Robert Griffin III, whichever they decide to do. And you know, the only thing now is what we're concentrating on. We're trying to get the Mavericks back flying straight and everything. You know, they've been kind of going through plateaus, peaks, and valleys, have been dipping a lot the past couple of weeks. But
and their game's airing tonight on ESPN. So everybody will be playing tonight on ESPN.
Yeah, so did the Mavericks go to a restructuring? I mean, did they lose some players?
Well, they lost a couple of players. They lost, like, they lost Tyson Chandler. They lost J.J. Barea. And right now, I think the biggest problem, like a lot of the teams, is that you can tell which guys kept working out during the lockout they went through, because a lot of them just now getting their legs back up under them. So that's definitely, that's one of the highs and lows. It's kind of the same thing the NFL went through. But
yeah,
they kind of got their product looking a lot better, a lot crisper, because they went on the side to knock off nonsense to get this thing signed. The only game they missed was the Hall of Fame game, but as far as the rest of the season, it was still kind of okay. But, you know, as far as our beloved Cowboys concerned, let's just say they still did what they always did.